Hello, I'm Rita Warren, a coordinator of the Explorer program at the laboratory of the Monroe Institute. A reminder before we begin this excerpt from another Explorer session. The Institute takes no stand on the validity of the information presented in any Explorer session. We simply offer the material without endorsement for your consideration. It's up to you to determine whether or not any of the material fits with your belief system. If we give you something that makes you think or raises questions in your mind, then we feel we've done our job. And if any of the Explorer material rings true for you, we strongly urge you to validate that information for yourself and explore for your own answers. The following excerpt comes from our 31st session with Explorer HBW. It covers the phenomena of channeling and has some interesting things to say about the sources of such information.
We are talking to you today in order to lecture a little bit on the phenomena of channeling. You see, the voice that is speaking right now has not been speaking to you in those terms. You might recognize the quality of the sound, but the source of the voice is very different. Now, channeling does not always mean that there will be sources of information that are somewhat defined, that express certain levels of consciousness. Sources of information are not always entity that as such speak through a physical channel. The truth is that a person that is expressing its entity through a physical body indeed is in touch all the time with all sorts of energy streams and flows within the time and space concept and outside time and space concept. Now, there is a state of mind, so to say, when the physical brain not only is the instrument of the entity itself or of other levels of this entity that do reside somewhat outside of space and time, but there is also a state of mind where the mind as such ceases to exist and only functions as a radio station for energy streams that do occur and are present all the time, all over the place, within space and time and outside space and time. Now, it is important to understand that not always do these energy streams cluster together and form what you might call an entity. Very often there are energy streams that do contain a cluster of information, but not to the degree where they could actually be called an entity, because they do not have a sense of identity as such. And therefore, indeed, they do not try to express their entity or identity as such, but they do just flow as an energy stream, and the process of flowing itself is the means of expression. Now, every living person, and indeed every living being, has got the potential to tune into these energy streams that do occur, as we said, in space and time and outside of space and time, and therefore become a part of that energy flow and can express this energy flow. Now, these energy flows, they do not only flow on one space level or one time level, but they do also flow from time to time level, from space to space level, and therefore somebody who can tune into these energy streams very well can get in touch with information that come from the past, from the future, from other levels of existence, and he is not as such then channeling an entity that does give him this information. Do you see?
Yes, we understand that.
Now, this refers to what a friend and Harold too were discussing the other day. If a person understands that principle, there is no need anymore to look for other entities as such that could be then considered to be sources of information. All it needs indeed is somewhat open the mind and become aware of these multidimensional energy flows that are present everywhere and at any time. And therefore, to get access to any information you desire, you see, all that is needed then would be an open mind and an intention for certain information, for certain qualities and aspects of information. And then the open mind somewhat would open gates or doors for these energy streams that then would flow into the conscious being of a person and would somewhat be expressed consciously. And this is way before you would express all that in terms of a language or an image. You see, these energy flows are vibrational flows of energy that do contain in itself the information without expressing it as language or as an image or even as color or even as anything that you are familiar with. And therefore, an open mind very often contains all these various energy streams, but sensing that they are there does not mean at the same time that the conscious mind would be able to become aware of them or to express them. So the conscious mind needs to open itself up towards these energy streams, but also has to learn to then interpret it in ways that do make sense to its conscious understanding, you see.
Yes, we follow that.
Now, oftentimes when a person starts channeling, he is not channeling as such an entity, but he is using the channeling process as a means of interpretation of those energy sources. And as he is not aware of that process, he has a tendency then to call the process by name, give it a name and make it an entity that it has not been beforehand, you see. So what a person does oftentimes is he creates an entity that he is then channeling by somewhat adding together, cluster together energy streams that then in his understanding form an entity. And then it seems to him to be much easier to approach this entity and to channel information of this entity that indeed does not even exist as such.
Mm-hmm, I see. And thus it would be a more clear, we would receive more clear information if we did not do this.
Yes, you would not limit yourself to the information that is then contained by the entity, you see.
Are you speaking now from such a stream of information, or are you...
Well, that what is speaking at this moment in time is a stream of information and has not got an identity as such. Mm-hmm. It's like this stream of information flows through the concept of Harold and becomes a voice that is expressed. If you gave me a name now, I would become an entity, and the information I gave to you and the information that is still to follow would be then part of that entity and therefore be limited. You see?
Yes, but even if we don't give a name, we tend still to think in these terms, as you suggested, which is then limits the information we'll receive to that portion that we've named. Is that?
This is indeed so.
Mm-hmm. The streams of information then are, would we think of them as containing a certain kind of information?
Well, there are unlimited streams of information, and within all of these streams of information, there is contained all knowledge there is, you see. Now, in order to gain or to get in touch with a certain quality of knowledge, with a certain aspect of knowledge, all you need to do, as we said before, is open your mind towards that source of knowledge and it will come to you, not as an entity, but as knowledge, and then will flow through the being of the channel and become information, expressed through voice or movement or whatever, you see. Now, if you want different information, you should not try to refer to the same source of information, but just try to open new doors for that new information and allow other sources of information, other streams of energy and information to flow through this just newly opened door and become a voice again, you see. Therefore, the access to information would never ever be limited again.
I see. So that even with new explorers, it would be a procedure could be used that would involve simply asking them to find certain kinds of information.
Yes.
Responses to specific questions.
Indeed. Uh-huh. You could ask specific questions, or you could ask them to just open up and tell you whatever comes into their mind. Because every explorer will have a natural tendency as he or she has certain interests in specific topics to attract energies that somewhat fulfill these intentions, express these intentions, you see. So whenever an explorer is in the booth and opens up, he will attract energy and information that indeed is in accordance to his intention and desires. And this is the reason why so many times when different explorers go into the booth, the information they get seems to be so different, of big variety and somewhat conflicting with each other, because all these people attract that information that somewhat is backing up their belief structure and their intention, do you see? Now, knowing this, you do know that all information they do receive is indeed true, relatively speaking, you see. Now, in order to get what you understand as objective knowledge, you have to open up more and more doors within each explorer, and there will be a state when the original intention has been expressed, and then somewhat a neutral stage of opening will occur. And then indeed you will find information that might not be as colored anymore when it flows through these individuals, do you see?
Is the what you're calling colored information or filtered information, is that information that's coming through that is already in the mind and is just being interpreted?
Yes, you see, there are expectations within any human being. And when you send an explorer out to explore, these expectations will indeed attract information which is somewhat connected to the expectations and will be expressed then through these expectations. Do you follow?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So in order to gain true knowledge, you need to train the explorers to find a state that is beyond their state of expectation. It's a mystic state where an explorer becomes one with that part of its entity that indeed does reside beyond the space and time concept, meaning here that within space and time the level of expectations is much higher because there is a strive of survival and understanding which you do not have as such in a state independent of space and time, do you see?
Yeah, so this beginning state would be, is this the state that was referred to earlier by Harold 2 or Harold 3 as a state of freedom?
This is true.
So that's at that point then, when the explorer is able to reach that state and then go beyond, then the information will be less colored by their own expectations.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, when you send explorers into the booth and ask them to explore, it is important to tell them that what they might explore will very well meet their belief structure and system, will meet their expectations, but this does not mean that it is proof that what they believed in is true, you see. It just means that they were able to attract information that is in accordance with their belief structure. Now, in order to gain an even higher level of knowledge, it is important to express those belief structures first and then get to this point of utter freedom that then allows you to get in touch with uncolored knowledge, uncolored, meaning not colored by your expectations and your beliefs.
Yes.
Now, there are many levels of expectations. You see, every person is a spective. Now, being a spective means that a personality does have many, many different aspects, and all these aspects do indeed hold beliefs, expectations. So that all these beliefs and expectations might at any given time be expressed, and therefore you will find that an explorer that goes into the booth on a regular basis might, over a period of a year maybe, have very different experiences. The reason for this being that the different experiences and information are attracted by the different aspects of this person. And only when all these aspects have been expressed in a certain way at one time quality, only then they get access to somewhat what you might call a neutral information. Neutral meaning that the information somewhat is independent of their expectations. The expectations and the belief structure are still needed as an energy pattern to express the information, but the information itself will be delivered in a much more objective way, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that it's not only important for us to know ourselves as monitors and as people in the lab, but also for the explorer to know themselves, that they should not get, attached to the information that's brought in.
This is
in
very
early
important.
Stages.
Mm-hmm. This is very important indeed. Mm-hmm. You see, and the explorer and the monitor have to understand that all the information that will come forward is true, but it might be aspective. You see?
Yes, it's hard for us always to understand that the aspective can also be true.
It is true. Now, when you look at the cluster of reality layers you're living in and that you call the space and time continuum, you will find that there is an indefinite number of reality layers that are tightly connected with each other. And they all cross over and form points of power or materialization. And these points of power indeed are then the energy sources that do in turn form a belief structure of reality. Now, these clusters of reality and these cross points of reality streams then in turn attract entities that do somewhat melt into these points of power of reality patterns and become part of it, and therefore they do experience only those clusters of points of powers, do you see? Now, when they perceive reality, what they do perceive is that specific cross point where many levels of reality to cross, you see, and it becomes real for them. Now, they could follow the streams of energy before they go through this cross point, follow back the streams of energy and meet another cross point of reality, and therefore the reality somewhat seems to change, you see. They can keep on doing this, and the more they do this, the more expanded will become their awareness, the more their conscious mind will be growing. And there might be a point when they have been following these various streams of reality that finally they become independent of these streams of reality, and therefore also of the cross points of reality, and somewhat get a bigger picture of what is going on, you see. Now, when we talk about these cross points of reality layers, this is an aspective reality. When you travel along the energy streams of realities, time would be one. This is still an aspective reality. And when you then become independent of these energy streams, like time and space being two of them, then you only are able to get a bigger picture, and then you can somewhat jump from one cross point of reality to another cross point of reality and even exchange these for one another, do you see?
And this is would be the normal path that an entity would follow?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And such an entity you would call an enlightened one. Because indeed, it would be independent of the focus of various cross points of reality and energy streams within what you might call reality, you see.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying that, again, the way in which we've tended to look for entities and identify them and so on tends to keep them at certain cross points? And
you do,
mm-hmm.
Indeed. And again, as we said, what they then would describe as reality would indeed be true, but perspective.
Yes, I see what you're saying there.
Now it's time for a question again.
Yes. As we begin working with a new explorer, some of our explorers have seemed to have great difficulty letting the energy begin to move at all. Do you have some suggestions for those situations?
Well, what it needs is encouragement again and again. Like when an explorer is in the booth and he is not experiencing a thing, then you should try to make him experience and not just let him lay there in silence, you see. Because when he lays there, he starts to wonder, do I experience something? Am I an explorer? Maybe these people out there get bored, nothing is happening, the tones still seem to be the same. Maybe I should never have gone into the booth. You know, all these thoughts come and cross his mind.
Yes, we've heard all of those, yes.
Now, it is important that you stop the explorer from getting close to those concepts by asking him to do certain exercises, by moving the arms, the hands, the toes, get him involved in what was going on into the booth, and then he will feel after the session that he has gained something, you know. He might not be sure to what it might lead to finally, but this is not important. Important is that when an explorer leaves the booth, that he has the feeling something has happened, he has done and gained something, you see. Now indeed, in order to get the energies flowing, you can have very different approaches. You can somewhat trick the explorer by telling him to do certain physical exercises and to observe. And when he has certain observations, then tell him that this is all right, this is what he should have expected, you see. And indeed, whatever he will realize and learn from each session will be something that takes him away from its usual track of reality, you see. It does not matter what path an explorer takes. As long as he leaves his normal track of reality, it's fine, because then he opens up towards new ideas. It's only when he gets stuck in his old ideas that he has a hard time to explore, you see. Therefore, it is important when an explorer says, I feel like this, that you focus on it and encourage to him to see more, to explore more in that respect, you see, and as you indeed do and try to do.
Mm-hmm. So that even if the explorer is focusing on body sensations, this is still...
This is all right.
Okay, to encourage.
Right. Mm-hmm. If an explorer says, I don't feel a thing, it's silent here, you just say, great, explore the silence, it's great, this is what you should expect, you know. And he becomes confident and listens into the silence and then might indeed hear something that is beyond silence.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is experienced should become a tool. And you see, as there are individuals, everybody is individual and different, they will have different ways to start their exploration. And it's important to encourage those.
At this point, flip the cassette to the other side for the balance of this session. Now, we often recently are getting new explorers who already have some sense of guidance and often have names for their guides and so on. Is this a pattern that we might want to disrupt?
Well, what you could do is tell these explorers that their source of guidance is fine for the time being, but that they should always be open for other sources, and indeed that they are surrounded by an indefinite number of other sources of information, as indeed is the case with Harold. You see, Harold 2 and Harold 3 are levels of consciousness of, as you might say, a very high quality, and indeed it might be worthwhile to focus on these levels of being, of existence. And yet, at the very same time, there are many other sources of information that might be just as interesting.
Do you think at all in terms of levels of sources of information levels of entities, hierarchies of entities?
Well, there are definitely levels and clusters of information and entity. But there is no hierarchy as such, you see. You could not say, really, that the information of source 1 is of a higher quality as the information of source 4, whatever the source might be called. But you could say that there will be a distinct difference of information. Now, there could be information that is respective in time and space terms, and therefore very true and understandable by human beings. And therefore you might say it's a great source. Now, there might be information of source 4, which is way from the beyond of space and time, and therefore might make very little sense, and indeed might be very hard to be proved. And therefore you might say there is not really a lot of sense in that kind of information. It doesn't make sense in our terms, so let's ignore it. On the other person says, no, because it is from beyond space and time, it's of much higher quality, and we should listen to it. In spite of the fact that it doesn't make sense, you see. It all depends on how the way you look at it. Aspective energies are just as important as non-aspective energies. They are different expression of the uncreated force, but there is no hierarchy involved as such, you see.
Yes, I think I see that. Some of the entity paths that you have described, though, those that have been free to move from PowerPoint to PowerPoint, for example, would seem to us to have a broader perspective, so to say. And in that sense, that sounds to us like higher. And you're saying not so.
Not so, just different. Mm-hmm. You see, it's like somebody goes into a movie theater and enjoys a movie and gets stuck with it. Now, those people who can jump from cross-point to cross-point of energy, from power-point to power-point of energy, those are entities who move from one movie theater into another one. They watch the movie, but they never forget that it is a movie, and they are free of the movie itself, you see. Whereas some entities watch a movie, get stuck with the movie, and actually get part of the movie and forget that they have got the freedom to get out of the movie at any given time. Now, you couldn't say that those people do experience reality in a somewhat lower or inferior way. You see, they just experience reality in a different way. The perspective of reality is very different. But then again, perspective cannot be judged or valued. You see, they're just different.
Yes, I see. And is one of the differences among entities that some have felt, have experienced a physical form and others have not?
Yes, indeed. You see, there are many levels of consciousness or information that somewhat never really melted into these power points of reality, layers of space and time, but that are somewhat floating around and experiencing from outside. They never really took on a complete perspective and experience of space and time as such, and others did.
And this doesn't necessarily make one more valuable to us.
No, just
than
different.
Another, in terms of the information.
You see, as long as you feel that some sources might be more important than others, you block yourself towards certain energy streams. Only if you stop judging, you're completely open for any energy that might come to you. And only then you will become aware of the full picture, the full frame of what reality does mean. You see? If you think about a God consciousness, a God consciousness is a conscious mind that is equally aware of all that is possible as an expression of the uncreated source of energy, you see. And only if you have got this unlimited awareness of all that is possible, and there's no limit to what is possible, only then you start to enter a state of divine consciousness. Do you see?
Yes, that's such an appealing idea to us. Difficulty that we have faced in the laboratory from the beginning is the need to get our questions answered from a variety of sources to see the extent to which there is consensus or lack of consensus.
Indeed.
Now, this isn't from what you've described today. This doesn't make much sense to me to do this.
No. You see, the information might vary to a great deal, and yet, in its respective sense, all the sources might be quite correct. You see, if somebody says, when I leave your physical body, there will be a blue realm of consciousness, he might be right. Then another person says, quite wrong. If you leave your physical body and leave space and time behind, you enter a realm of crystals. That is true too. Depending on the direction of energy stream you get onto, you see. It's like you drive a car on a road and then five roads branch off. Depending on the road you take, the reality will appear to be very different, but they are all part of the same overall reality. Now, if you branch off on road to road one and you describe what you see, you give a certain picture of your reality, right? If you branch off into another road, the picture will be quite different. Now, most people who branch off are not aware that they had a choice, you see. And this is where the difficulty comes in. Most people who do explore are not aware that, indeed, there are other roads that they could have taken. But they have ignored those roads and only described the single experience they picked and think that this is the whole picture, you see. But in fact, it's just an aspective picture. Do you follow?
Yes. One thing we, of course, wish to do is to move beyond the aspective. We're not discounting the value of that, but to experience a moving beyond that to a more direct view of the uncreated energies, I guess.
Well, you shouldn't really. You see, when you explore the various roads of aspectiveness, you will get a very full and clear picture of what aspective dimensions do mean. And you should also, as you said, go into the beyond, into a realm where there is no such thing as aspectiveness, and get a clear picture of what that means. But indeed, only both experiences will give you the whole picture. Do you follow?
I see. Mm-hmm.
And indeed, this is one of the reasons that you came here in the first place. Because you did want to get a full picture, and therefore you did want to become part of the aspective dimensions. Follow?
Yes, and it's that we don't want to get too locked into them, I guess.
You cannot become locked in, dear friend.
Well, perhaps over-identified with particular aspective forms.
You see, as hard as you try to identify with certain aspective qualities, there will be a time when you get removed from those qualities. This is the time of change, or the time of death, you see. Death meaning the other time of change. So there is not a chance that you might get stuck for any long period of time to use your language.
Mm-hmm. I see. So that the aspects by definition would change at the ending of a physical form,
they
for
do.
Example.
Mm-hmm. They do. And you see, another aspect of this reality is that indeed you do live simultaneously in many ways in this dimension of space and time. And while we do talk here to each other, you indeed do live in many hundreds of other aspective lifetimes, and there is a connection between those lifetimes and this lifetime here. And your psyche indeed is not just focusing on this conversation that goes on. In fact, this is the smallest part of your psyche that is focusing. The bigger and larger part of your psyche is actually focusing on these other lifetimes, and indeed many of those lifetimes are not aspective at all. Indeed, you are mastering the secret of aspective energy in those other lifetimes. You do express what you might call in this lifetime masterhood of being. But as you're not aware of it, you are able to perceive this limited aspective energy of this lifetime, which is needed and precious for you as an overall entity, do you see?
What would a non-aspective lifetime, what does that mean?
A non-aspective lifetime does mean to you that you are free of attachment to aspective qualities of time and space. It does mean that you can enjoy the aspective qualities, but can freely mix and exchange those qualities in whatever way you choose, you see. It does mean that if you get fed up with the stream of time, you just jump in time backwards or forward, or stretch time or reduce time, or even exchange the particles of time in whatever way you like. Physically, this would mean that a master of time and space would be able to apparently go beyond the physical laws of this reality and indeed materialize and dematerialize, bring things into existence that have not been here before in this reality level. But what you actually do is you master the time and you somewhat freely jump from one level of life, of physical life, to another level. But it is not experienced as such by the observer, you see. Now, as we said, there are lifetimes of yourself where you are just doing that, you see. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't care less about the aspectivity of life, because this is something which is of no concern to you in those lives. But it very well is in this one.
Mm-hmm. So the lifetimes you're talking about there are where particular individuals have no concern for the aspects, but where others living in that same time and space may have.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I see. And is there a state in which all the energies present are living non-aspective lives?
There is indeed, and this stage is happening now, you see, but not obvious to your perspective. See, where we are, there is also a level of physical reality where aspectiveness is not experienced as such, and yet it is going on at this moment in time. And that does mean, you see, if you open up your mind and your psyche, you can get in touch with this existence of non-aspectiveness and indeed become a part of it. And that, in turn, might help you to become less aspective in this life if you choose to do so.
We have another question from
Al.
Is there a distinction then between these streams of energy and an entity?
Well, you see, when these streams of energies cluster together and form an entity, this entity somewhat is forming what you might call an identity, and it starts to act and express itself as an identity and as an entity, and therefore it will be in certain ways limited to its identity and form as an entity. It does mean that when an entity is formed, however big or however large the scale of awareness might be, it might be still limited, as the entity is somewhat different from the energies and separate from the energies around it, unless the entity is an entity of such an awareness that it does give up its borderline of entity, of its entity being, and somewhat is always in touch with the surrounding energy, and therefore you might not be able to call it an entity anymore, because it's just a sparkle of identity within an unlimited source of energy, and therefore might never appear as an entity, you see. Now, if the energy flow freely without forming an entity, you will find that one energy flow will never be the same, like the energy that talked to you today will cease to exist after this session is over, because other energy streams get mixed into it, and therefore you will have a different energy stream tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, you see. An energy stream does only occur at one time quality and ceases to exist in your terms. An entity, however, has got an identity that somewhat lives on for a long while. Do you follow?
Yes.
It protects itself against other energy streams to keep this identity. When you speak about a channel channeling an information, be aware that the information that is channeled indeed could act as a channel again. You see? An entity could reside in an entity, could reside in an entity, could reside in an entity.
We thank you very much for this information, and we think it's time to begin closing this session.
Now, this energy, as we said, only existed today, and might not exist tomorrow anymore, but it might exist in different terms, however, mixed with other aspects, and therefore giving other information.
It's been a very, very useful session for us, and we're very glad to have these new ideas.
You're welcome.
So there you have another session from our Explorer Files. This session presented us with a different perspective on the nature of the source of information than we have received in the many hundreds of hours of communicating with the non-physical energy in the laboratory. Like most of the Explorer material, it provides much to ponder. With channeling and other forms of contact and exploration with the non-physical realm becoming increasingly widespread, it does seem important to us at the Institute that people use such information not as a final word, but rather as a starting point for individual growth and exploration.